Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast entitled, Is God Willing to Involve Himself in Our Everyday Problems? This is part of a continuing series from the Gospel of John. I begin with reading John chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 from the New Living Translation. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." Jesus' first miracle is extremely intriguing on several levels. First of all, of all the things he could have done that day, he went to a wedding. We might think that Jesus was totally consumed with heavenly things, walking about with a halo over his head, with hands clasped in prayer continually. But that would be inaccurate. Jesus was very down to earth. We're not provided with many snapshots of his personality, but I would be greatly surprised if he were not thoroughly enjoying himself and feeling very comfortable at the party. By the way, people were drinking wine, and apparently quite a lot of it, because they ran out. A big no-no. Secondly, even though he had already begun his public ministry and had followers, he still hung out with his mother. Perhaps she was a disciple, but based on other passages, I think not at this point. Jesus was most likely fulfilling a family obligation to honor a friend's family by attending the wedding feast. Even though Jesus was fully committed to the kingdom of God, he never lost sight of taking care of his family and being with friends. Even as he hung dying on the cross, he asked John to take his mother into his family after his death. He loved his mom. I pick up reading John 2, verses 4 and 5. "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Jesus' mother felt free to pull on him to do a miracle to help out someone who faced embarrassment. When we know someone loves us deeply, it gives us boldness to ask him or her for favors and blessings, not out of a desire to abuse the relationship, but because we are confident. Mary presented Jesus with the need without ever making a specific request. Sometimes I resent this being done to me. It almost seems a little passive-aggressive, but Jesus did not mind. Mary simply expected him to do something about the problem. She probably felt the embarrassment of the hosts. So I next read John 2, 6 through 11. Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then when everyone has a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best wine until now." This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Fourthly, Jesus did what his mother asked, even though apparently he otherwise would not have. Jesus' first response was simply, "Sorry, Mom, that's not my problem." She, however, was undaunted and remained very bold. She told the servants to do whatever her son told them to do and probably dropped the mic and walked away. Jesus was free to do nothing, but for some reason, probably love and a desire to honor her, he conceded to his mother's request and met the need. This was remarkable in that it tells us that God responds to our requests, even when it might not be apparently what he had in mind. I hope this does not sound like heresy. God is sovereign over all things, but within his lordship, he leaves himself room to work with us in a dynamic partnership. He ordains the means as well as the ends. This should give us great confidence when we pray. Lastly, this miracle tells us a whole lot about God's heart for people. God cares about our everyday problems. He's not watching impassively from heaven. He is right in our midst. We also learn that Jesus is not nearly as bent out of shape about some things as we tend to be. These people were probably a little tipsy. They had drunk up all the wine, and we have to think the host thought he had enough on hand for the entire feast. Nevertheless, instead of piously telling the crowd that running out of wine was probably God's will because they had already been drinking too much, which of course was a sin, he made between 120 and 180 gallons of the best wine ever. Obviously, God is willing for people to have a good time. Even though he commands us to avoid becoming drunk with wine in Ephesians 5:18, he provided those partygoers with enough to get thoroughly drunk, if they so desired. Is this the God with whom you are familiar? Let's try to make an application. What do we learn from this passage that we can apply to everyday life? Here are some points. God cares about the everyday aspect of our lives. Two, God cares about social gatherings and what is needed to make them successful. Three, God will respond to our prayers, even if it seems that our request may not be exactly what he was planning to do. Sometimes God tests our resolve and our faith in his loving kindness. Four, God is not as tense about things as we might imagine. Those who approach life rigidly and legalistically do not understand his heart and misrepresent him to the world. Lastly, God is willing to demonstrate his love and power in everyday life as a testimony to his goodness, love, and power to save us. This is the Jesus we preach. This is the Jesus of the Gospels. It's no wonder people love and follow him.